B-Pod Studios.
Hello?
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez.
Who?
It starts now.
Uh-oh.
Good morning, everybody. Oh. Happy, happy, happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley in what should be a welcome back Sixers at the break. Finally coming back presents a terrible, terrible buzzkill. What we're looking forward to, Sixers back, Heat, the integration of Tobias Harris and further integration of Jimmy Butler into the starting lineup, right? Figuring out the roles, so important for the starting lineup. Second half tonight, really the stretch tonight begins against Miami. There's 24 games left in the season, and these 24 games, crucial into getting into a flow, guys knowing their roles, going into the playoffs. Buzzkill. Big man, load management, sore knee, out. I mean, could there be worse timing, seriously? This thing is horrible, and I'm not overreacting. Now, he'll get reevaluated in a week. They didn't say he's going to play in a week. He's going to be reevaluated in a week. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, you're looking at missing 3-4, maybe more games. Maybe there's more load management issues that he'll have to miss games as they start to go play 3 and 4 in a week. This is the biggest issue. That if there is any reason why, and I know what Brett Brown said, that you don't connect the dots. But Brett, I'm begging you, man. How do you not connect the dots? I mean, how do you not connect the dots? How do you say on one hand that inactivity could create injury, and then the activity creates injury, and now you shut them down for a week? It's torture. I mean, it's flat-out torture. He shouldn't have played. If there is any inkling of soreness, he shouldn't have played. It's a terrible look. An awful look. How in the world does he play in an all-star game, flying around, having fun? And God bless, man. I don't want to deny him the opportunity. He loves that. He loves to be on the grand stage. One of the things that I like really love about Joel Embiid is that he loves the stage, loves the spotlight. He wants to be out there. He wants to be with his brethren. He's earned the right. He's an MVP candidate. But even more reason to treat him with great care. And not miss games here when you need them. These games are not only important because of seeding. Look, you still need to try to at least finish with the third seed. That's an important deal. You know what kind of difference they are at home as opposed to the road. They're 23-7 at home. They're 14-14 on the road. It doesn't take some rocket scientist. Like, you know, you can't risk anything with him. I mean, I don't know how in the world you can let him play if there was any kind of knee soreness. And again, how do you not connect the dots? We're not dopes. Like, how do you not connect the dots? All of a sudden, he plays, now he hurt. Oh, it hurts from just multiple levels. It hurts because you're trying to get these guys to play together. Like, the big man needs to be on the court. He needs to play with his teammates. It's a very difficult proposition when you bring in a Butler, a Tobias Harris to go along with Ben and JJ and Big Joe, right? But you understand it. You understand that they need to play together. You know, bleep the All-Star game. Who cares about the All-Star game? You know, it's great. Joe wants it. Oh, sorry, Joe. Can't play. Go enjoy yourself. Go do whatever you want to do. Go to parties. Do whatever. But you can't play. I don't know how else. Why would you risk any part of the season? Because he needs to play now. Now's the time he needs to play. He needs to play so this team can win. He needs to play so they can learn how to play together. That's such a big deal. You know, like, all right, you know, how are we going to do this thing? You already saw against good teams. You saw it against Boston that they still struggle, right? They got to figure out how to play. You got to figure out how to play together. What are your roles? Then, you know, when Boston does X and we do Y, and maybe Y's Jimmy as the ball handler and playing more point. All right, Joe, Joe needs to be there. Yeah, Boban, you need Joe there. So that's the biggest issue. I don't know how you screw this up. You know, I mean, I guess there's a chance that it's just bad luck, that it's just happenstance. But geez, it's hard not to connect the dots, to use Brett's words. Especially now, we got too much riding on this thing. And then the other thing is, boy, you know, I love him to death, like we all do, right? We love watching a big man. Love watching a big fella. Like he's the close, I guess he's the closest thing to Wilt, right? You know, none of us saw him. But he's the closest thing in an era where there's no dominant big men. He's the closest thing to it. He's a generational big that can do everything. Yet we're going to have to watch him holding our breath for his entire career. I fear this. Like, you feared it before. You know, look, it's been a ride, man. You know, the injury that allows you to get him. The foot, the back, the knee. We remember that Rocket. See, part of the problem for all of us is we remember that Rockets game a couple years ago on a Friday night when he hyperextends the knee. And then, like, he disappeared. You didn't see him. And we're going to have to worry every time he plays. Oh. I don't think I can take it. We got him and we got Carson. I think Carson's another one you got to worry about. Every time, every snap, you're going to watch holding your breath. Every snap. But this one stings because, Andrew, you tell me if I'm wrong. You tell me if I'm missing something. All right. How does the kid play in the All-Star game?
No, you're not wrong at all.
How does he play in the All-Star game?
It's starting to get to the point where I'm getting angry. It used to be annoyed with this kind of stuff. Like, oh, man, this sucks.
You should be angry.
I'm starting to get angry.
This is the season.
Because now we're actually watching a team that's going to compete in the playoffs and possibly compete for an Eastern Conference championship, right? They could get to the NBA Finals. Without Joel Embiid, that doesn't happen. No. I know the rest of the three, they're great. Tobias, Butler, and Simmons are great.
You're not getting out of the East without Embiid.
No, you're not going to. And now I'm starting to get angry. Don't connect the dots. What are you talking about?
I know.
Because if he was fine the game before the All-Star break, and then he plays in the All-Star game, and now the first game out of the break, all of a sudden he can't play, and you're going to give me that term, that damn term, load management again, I'm starting to get angry.
We should be angry.
I see there's somebody already tweeted in, relax, it's only three games. No, he will be reevaluated in one
that's
week.
That's what I said. And see, this is why I really don't want to hear the relax thing, because we've been down this road before with him. Again, I bring up the Rockets game. You remember that Rockets game, Andrew? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was at Xfinity Live. The place just went silent when he went down.
It was a Friday night.
Yep.
It was a Friday night.
The place just went quiet.
And then he played. You remember that?
Yep.
And then he aggravated, and we didn't see him for weeks. Weeks. Remember that?
Well, until the rest of the season.
Yes.
Season was over.
Yes. I mean, this is what we're talking about. It's this kind of, you can't just say relax because the franchise was put in peril somehow. So he wasn't that knee, nothing was on Friday, on Saturday, knee was fine. Like, what's going on, man? How could he play? And he's jumping around and now he's hurt. I'm sorry. I'm like on edge. And it's going to be a tough day. I need you guys today because I'm completely on edge. Because the other thing is the specter of having to watch him for his whole career with this. Every weird movement, every time he comes down wrong. And then you got it with Carson. And then you got the Harper thing still looming. I got tweets for you. What does it mean? I just want to relax and enjoy. I wanted tonight to come back. I was dying for a whole week. There was no sports. We had Flyers, you know, the slim chance of the playoffs. But really, that was it.
You just wanted to sit back with the Heineken. Now you can't do that.
No. And you know, the problem is that now these games, they don't mean as much because the roles are different. You know, they should still beat the Heat. They should still beat Miami. But you need to beat in the game. They need to play together. Now you're going to worry. All right, well, it's three games. Well, that's four. And that's six. And you got to be careful. And then the load management thing is what the tweeter doesn't even understand is that the load management piece of this thing means about every third or fourth game, he's going to have to sit. Like, who knows what's going to happen? And they need to play together. Need to play together. All right, I need you guys today. Jason's sick, and I'm sick to my stomach. All right? I'm on edge. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach me. It's Midday Show. I'm Anthony Gargano. Andrew Salchunas, my faithful producer. It's us two today. And listen, tonight I'm going to be at Parks Casino. That's right. For the Cuz Corner Show, 6 to 7. Listen, the Parks Casino Sportsbook's outrageous. Parks is Pennsylvania's number one casino. It's got it all for the sharps, first-time sports better. They make it easy to get your action. You can bet spreads and parlays and teasers and props right there. The Sportsbook inside Parks Casino is an oasis. All the action on the big screens right in the middle of the casino, plus the free bet slip builder that lets you build all your bets from anywhere with the latest odds. It's a great app. There's also sports betting kiosks throughout the casino where you can make your bets, print your tickets 24 hours a day. You can also place your sports bets on the way to the game at the South Philly Turf Club on Packer Avenue, right near the stadiums. Sports betting now available at the South Philly Turf Club. Now, Parks Casino also has a lot of food options, great stuff. Liberty Bell Gastropub, the Parks Grill Steakhouse, the beautiful new beer garden. It's unbelievable. They got everything. Olivetto Italian Restaurant, Bamboo Noodle House, the great Chickies and Pete's. Bet with the best. The Sportsbook at Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fully satisfied sexually.
Not today. All right? Not today. Oh, man. Load management. We got to go back to that. I need these guys to play together. I can't wait for it to start. Hi, right, Tobias. Jimmy, what's Jimmy going to do? Got to get Jimmy involved. But it doesn't matter if the big man's not around. Everything's got to go through the big man. Big man got to touch the ball. That's it.
Brett also had a week to try to figure out a game plan. We're not going to see that tonight.
No.
You can't see it with Boban.
See, no.
You can't see it with Amir Johnson.
No. Well, Bolden, Jonah Bolden's going to play. Yeah, Boban's got, there's so many minutes you could play him, before it's completely counterproductive. The thing what bothers me with Brett is, don't connect the dots. Dude, this medical history with this team's been going on and on and on and on forever through the process. That's got to end. That's got to end. Driving me nuts. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, good morning, man. How you doing, man?
All right.
So, yeah, man, I totally 100% agree with you, man. I think Brett Brown is not the guy. He's got to go, man. First of all, I honestly don't believe he has a grip of anything, man. I do believe Embiid does whatever he wants to do. Because there's no way, even Anthony Davis sat out. He there's no way you cannot sit out an All-Star weekend if you're hurt or even if you're sore, man. Are you kidding me? How is this possible? This is your crown jewel, man. This is the guy
I know.
That's going to take you
I know.
Anywhere that you want to go to.
And you're right. You're right. Now, here's one thing. He's a strong personality, right? He can run roughshod over guys and coaches. And I'm sure that, Brett's got to acquiesce. But you got to save him from himself if that's the case.
That's my point. And I believe this would not happen with Popovich, man. This would not happen with him. There's coaches that have a grasp of the situation and be like, you know what, Embiid, I'm sorry, man. You are the face of this franchise. You can't go. That's just it. And you're not going to tell me you just found out about this knee soreness. And you're going to say you can't connect the dots. There's no way, man.
I know. I feel you, brother. Right? And he kills you because you wanted him to play, right? You wanted him to play with Tobias and Jimmy and where they're at. You need to find out about where their strengths are and how they play together.
Yes, and this is the most vital, part of the season. And I believe this is the seeding is going to hurt us now, man, because not having JoJo, that messes up everything. And four games, that's too much for me, man. I believe that he's got to go. I wish Jay Wright was our coach, to be honest with you, but somebody that can take control of these kids, especially Embiid. Yeah. I love him to death.
I hear you. Here's what's going to happen, right? We'll find out by the end of the year about Brett. I hear your point, and you make a great point, Chris. You're really doing. Thanks for the call, buddy. He's got to. If Brett has to be able to save Joe from himself. Now I don't know how we don't connect the dots, so I'm going to connect dots. And as the steward of this thing, it's tough, right? I get it. It's a difficult thing to get those big personalities to all fall in line, play together, do the right thing. And particularly Joe, who is an amazing, amazing player. Really, really intelligent. He's also got that kind of, it's almost childlike, he's mischievous, right? In a weird way. It's an endearing quality, unless you really are his coach, which I'm sure it drives you nuts sometimes. You could see him being mischievous, and not in a bad way, but in that childlike way where he's going to test you. That's what it feels like. And that's kind of what I gather from people that really, really know and work with him on a day-to-day basis. Thank you, Lindsay. Lindsay just got some coffee. She's a lifesaver. But I don't know. I mean, he's got to have a handle on this thing. It's a tough gig. It is. And we'll find out. The referendum, I almost don't want to even talk about Brett right now because, there's plenty of time for this to manifest. We'll find out about Brett by the end of the year. And again, I think he's a great dude, and I hope he's the guy. But if he's not, it doesn't matter how you're a good guy, great guy, whatever. They got to find somebody that can get this thing together. They have too much right now, and you need Embiid. and you're going to have to marshal this thing, and you got to, it's got to be carefully done. John in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Johnny.
Hey, Dan, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, my brother?
I just, man, I've had this fear. It's my biggest fear with the Sixers team, and I've had it all year. And, like, I don't understand how last year, you know, Embiid had a minutes restriction, and then this year, what he had, like, two rest games? You know, like,
right.
Even before this All-Star thing, like, it just, it's mind-boggling how they're handling these two crown jewels to me. And I'm with you. I'm rooting for Brett, but my biggest fear is that this organization is so scared of losing these guys and these guys running roughshod over them, like you just said, that's going to be to their detriment.
Yeah.
I don't need a total disciplinarian to come in here.
Right.
But there's seemingly no discipline, eh? You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It just seems, I mean, even like, I don't know. Like, when Embiid's tired and he's shooting threes, like, I don't know. Like, and it is a tough situation, man, because can you sit him? You know what I mean? What's going to happen if you sit him?
You're going to lose him, right?
Or when Ben runs up the court into a crowd and turns the ball over. What happens if you sit him? Do you lose him?
Right.
You know? But there needs to be some kind of structure. Like, I just don't see how you can talk about winning a championship and going up against a team like the Warriors without any discipline. Because I think, like, I'm excited about this starting five, and I think we keep comparing him to Popovich because of where he came from. Popovich has a fistful of rings. But at the same time, what does Popovich do with this starting five? I think he can compete with the Warriors, you know? And I think at the very least, like, the defensive structure would look a little bit more like a defensive basketball team. That's just...
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. It's a fear because, yeah. and it's, you know what's tough is that there's not a lot of guys out there that you think can do this, right? Like, I remember Phil Jackson showing, where was he? North Dakota, or somewhere in Big Sky Country, Montana. He was in Montana. Shaq had a rap concert in Montana. And he shows up at Phil Jackson's house, and I'll never forget him saying he sees the glistening of the NBA trophies, and so he buys in, right?
Right.
Like, he sees those trophies at the house in Montana, and he's like, "I want one of those." So whatever Phil's selling, I'm in. But like, how many guys like that are out there?
I know, and I'm so scared that. And I think if there is no discipline, you're eventually going to lose these guys anyway.
I know.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, it's tough, man.
Brett's got to step up to the plate here, you know, and just got to. I don't know. I don't know what exactly.
I know, Johnny. I hear you. It's a tough. Listen, you know, I'm frustrated today. So what you hear from me is frustration. And I'm not making a bigger deal out of it. This is a worry. This is like a worry, a real worry. Like, they need to play together, all that stuff. And it's funny because every time we talk about the coach, I mean, there's not a ton of guys out there. And you have to be delicate. You can't, these guys will turn off like a light switch if you're on them too hard. If you get on these guys too hard, they just shut you out. Shut you out. Boom, you're out. I'll never forget. So I'm covering, I was doing something with the Bulls. Remember when Calipari was coaching the Nets? So like and this goes back. This is like 15 years or longer than that. He's yelling, like, every possession. He's screaming at his team. And Jordan, I think, remember Jason Williams?
Oh, yeah, of course.
He got caught for murder, or some manslaughter, someone died at a party, some crazy story. So Mike turns to Jason Williams and goes, "Dude, you got to deal with this every day? Him screaming like that?" And that's, you know, a long time ago. There's no way in the world today that you can handle. So we could say, oh, you got to be disciplined. It doesn't work.
No, it only works in college.
Yeah, because you have a hammer. Point,
right.
And even that, you know, even that doesn't work all the time. If you got one and done kids, you know, I know Cal's softened with those kids. You know, there's only so much you can push them. And then forget about it. You're in the NBA. I mean, you know, Joe is a tough guy to coach. He's a tough guy to coach. Ben's probably easier because Ben's that guy that's, you know, he's there all the time. Joe's got that mischievous way. He's going to push you. Amazing talent. Wants to touch the ball. Let's talk to, where are we at? Bobby in Allentown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What do you say, Bob?
Anthony.
How you doing, buddy?
Talk to you, sir. Hey, just to say, I talked to you last year. We were talking about how the excitement between like this current team and last year's team. And I'll be honest with you, or not last year's team. I'm sorry, 2001 team.
Uh-huh.
But I'm right with you. I'm a fair weather Sixers fan, to be honest. When they're hot, I'm in.
Okay.
When they're not, I keep up on them.
All right, that's fair.
And a lot of my buddies. So what I think on this is just that, yeah, like he, I think the last few times, you know, you guys have sound bites on Joe, and there's things like he says, everyone's like, yeah, now we're like, oh, crap. So I think now it comes down on Brown a little bit. I think Brown's been unfairly, like, hit a lot of times recently. Like, you know, I'm not a big basketball guy, like, but.
Here's the problem is that, you know, he's not unfairly criticized. When you're the coach, you know, you're going to get criticized. And when you lose to Boston, and the way he lost to Boston last year, and the way he's played him this year, you're going to get criticized. And guess what? You deserve it. Like, you know, this is the job.
Now what I think is, here's the ultimate. I didn't think he should be criticized for the stuff he's been over the last, you know, year, couple months. But now here it comes. Like, step up. And JoJo's not a bad guy. He's just, now he finally said something that you got to be like, oh, well, let's watch
it. It's not about bad guy or good guy, Bob. In fact, buddy, it's about, you know, protecting himself from himself, right? I mean, that's what it is. Look, I mean, you know, this is big business, right? You know, there's no feelings, and Brett understands that. You know, he's a really nice man and whole thing and very rootable. But, you know, you lose to Boston, nobody's going to go, hey, you know, pat you on the butt, good job. You lost to Boston. You didn't do a good enough job. Your rotation's out of whack or what you're doing on defense isn't working.
Yeah, and the worst part about that game, and I know you said it after that game, was that it felt exactly like the playoffs last year.
Yeah, despite having Butler and Tobias Harris. You know, and look, you're willing, because right now, you're rational. You know that, look, by the end of the year, we'll get an understanding that all this stuff is experimental, right? It's all work in progress. The problem is with all the experimental stuff is that Embiid hits out of nowhere again. And the real frustration is, oh my God, we have to deal with, like, he's such a generational talent. And the curse that comes with it is going to be the health scares. I mean, every time he goes to the floor, don't you hold your breath?
Yeah. I thought going into this year, that would change slightly. No, it goes right back to it because of this news.
Next year, during this NFL season, when you watch Carson.
Oh, every time.
Right?
Every time. It was like Michael Vick. Every time you saw Vick go down, you thought, oh, here's a cracked rib.
Yeah, but that's even, right, and you go, and that was Michael Vick. This is
your franchise quarterback. This is your future.
And there's no Nick Foles behind him. Yeah, like, this is the season.
And I'll be honest, I'm seeing more and more on Twitter of the people saying, relax, it's just a few games. Let's just make this clear one more time. He's going to be re-evaluated in 1 week. It could be longer. Another thing, they are currently tied with the Celtics. The Celtics have the head-to-head, the better head-to-head record, so that's why they're in front of the Sixers. If the Sixers lose three of their next five games, four of their next six games, just because they got into the playoffs doesn't mean they're going to win if they don't have home court advantage. They need to win probably 14 games down the stretch, 15 games down the stretch, if they want to have home court advantage.
That's right.
You can't start the second half, or not the second half, the next 24 games, losing three of your first four.
Yes. Yes.
These relaxed people are starting to get me angry.
Well, here's why you can't just relax, because it's right now the stretch run, 24 games. So in addition to seeding, it's gelling. See, here's the thing I think Brett needs. See, I think Monty Williams is a really good assistant. So I like Monty Williams. I think he needs an SOB assistant that is the guy that's busting stones, that can be the bad guy. Because the assistant can be like an older guy that can play the role of bad guy a little bit while he's the good cop. Because you still need that influence coming from somewhere. But you can't have the guy in charge be the bad cop, because then everybody turns their back. But if you have an assistant coach that can play the bad cop and be a little heavy-handed, you know, that could be a little bit more effective.
It's like when the Phils had Boa as a base coach.
It's true. Yes. Yes. And maybe an assistant that knows about defense, too. Maybe Dick Harder's available. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Look, if you say relax, you mean tell me to relax. I'm admittedly on edge. Like, I'm living with this thing, like you guys are. I'm living with this thing daily. I couldn't wait for them to come back. I mean, quite frankly, I love this team, right? I want this team so badly to have a real run for the enjoyment of this town. And so I'm on edge. I'm making no bones about it. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you reach me. I'm Anthony Gargano. Andrew Salchunas, the riding shotgun. My boy Andrew. 97.5 for that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
1 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
This is unbelievable.
All right, the real test of whether or not we got to worry will happen a week from tonight. Because, Andrew, a week from tonight is OKC. Now, you know, it's a nationally televised game. It's Westbrook. And Joe hates Westbrook. There's nothing that Joe would rather do than play against Westbrook. He hates Westbrook, which is awesome. It's one of the great hates and all going on in sports right now. But that's a week from tonight. The 28th is OKC. Now, they said he'd be reevaluated. Now, I don't know. You're reevaluating, you're cleared to play. So it's still possible. But to me, that's the mark, because you got February 28th, Oklahoma City. That's the Thursday. And then that Saturday, a week from this Saturday, is Golden State. That's the big game on ABC. Is he going to miss that?
He better not. It's in Philadelphia, too.
I know. Is he going to miss that? Like, that's the one you go, like, if that's where the true worry will come, if he's not back to playing in either of those games. Right now, I hear the people saying relax, and I may be overboard, but I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated by this thing. Coming up, you'll hear exactly what Brett said. Because I don't want to be unfair. One thing I've been doing this a long time. I don't like to be. I always try to look at all sides. I might be emotional at times, but I always try to be fair. But this thing is frustrating the hell out of me.
Well, it's because you've seen the story before.
Well, yes, over and over and over and over and over again. And that, you know, again, it goes back to the sports science people. And, you know, it's amazing. I don't know how they did it when you think about it. But those guys played like in the 90s. Those guys played 45 minutes a night. They played foot. Now, he's different. He's big, right? So there is. But, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon didn't play. Most of them play 80 games and play, you know, 40 minutes a night.
I don't even think load management existed back then.
Nobody rested anybody back then. And I just don't understand how. I mean, listen, they know more than I do. I'm not a sports scientist, so I got to defer on the science. I willingly defer on the science. I just don't understand how in 1990 or 1995, you name the year, those guys were playing 42 minutes a night. Jordan never left the court. Even bigs, like the bigs played. There were times when they had injuries, but more they played.
What happens if Phil Jackson goes up to Jordan and goes, hey, we're going to give you the night off?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about time, right? The time is different. But, I just don't understand how you could be in peril by playing. That idea of load management. Unless, you know, there's structural issues that you just have a finite amount of basketball in you, right? Like there's a finite amount of how many times you're going to run up and down the floor. Chuck in North Carolina, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chucky.
Anthony, Andrew, how's everybody
doing?
What's
up, my brother?
I am not happy. I'm not happy at all. How did we just go make all these trades, put a whole season on the line to sit Embiid? I think that this can hurt our season. I think this can end our season. Honestly, the chemistry we need. I mean, look what happened to Boston. And you're right. The same squad without Kyrie Irving that whooped us in the playoffs was out there again. And they did it again. And now we don't have Embiid. And now what? They're supposed to gel and get evaluated. What if he doesn't come back for 2 weeks? Now they're going to start learning how to play without him. And then when he comes back, then what do we do? Now we have to get chemistry again.
See, the real problem happens before the All-Star break. Like, why? Do you remember it? Like, almost every game before the All-Star break, he's questionable. Everything is going to play. He's going to play. It was always a game time decision. Now I don't know. Yeah. Was that soreness? Is that he don't feel right? If that's the case, then he should have sat before the All-Star game. He should have sat during the All-Star game. Go there, but just don't play.
Are they afraid to tell him no? Are they afraid to tell him no?
I hear you.
I mean, on D3, you know, he wanted to go back in the game, so they let him go back, and he ended up having a career-ending injury. He's never been the same since. So, you know, these guys got to. We need to protect them from them. You know, it's just like Carson Wentz. You know, did we all want him back when Foles wasn't playing well? Yes. Should we have played him? I don't think so. I think we should have protected him for future years, you know, but we're thinking about one game at a time. And, you know, I remember when I called last week and I said I was upset about that. And you said, Chuck, you can't be upset about that. It's just one game, you know. But we need to protect our guys. And I don't like the decisions that Brett Brown's making. Are they making him a scapegoat? I mean, is he going to be the scapegoat that comes out and tells all this information? I mean, it can cost him his job.
Well, it is his job. No, he's not a scapegoat. I mean, look, he's got to perform. First of all, he's got to perform. He's got to do his job. That his job is that.
And I got one more thing.
What's that?
Bryce Harper, if we do get him, and as long as it's taken, how does this affect the clubhouse? How does this affect the guys that they see one guy that's worth $350, $400 million come walking in whenever he wants? I mean, does that hurt the clubhouse mindset?
Right, because he wields it. First of all, they all understand the pecking order. So they know. Like, listen, you've all played on teams. Like, you know the best guy on the team, you know who it is. And you're always going to, like, you know, you could be jealous, but you also know you ain't going to win. Like, he's going to help you win. So, well, I don't worry about the clubhouse. They all know about business. They know about, you know, what the free agent deals. Because I got news for you. There's going to be a slew of other guys once Harper does sign and all the other free agents start to sign. There's going to be a slew of guys all throughout baseball coming to spring training late. Now, they're not going to have $400 million contracts. I don't even know what to believe right now. The longer that thing goes, the more worried I am there. The longer it goes, and it's quiet. You're on Twitter. You're looking at it, Andrew.
Wait, you asked me this morning to get you the last 24 hours.
Well, I looked at it, right. And then I said, do me a favor.
Print them out.
While we're doing the show, I wanted you to print out, but do me a favor. While we're doing the show, you know, while I'm talking to people, I need you to constantly being updated.
And there's nothing.
It's quiet.
There's nothing.
Eerily quiet. The last thing we got is John Heyman 11 hours and 11 minutes ago. He says, Philly's total focus right now is on Bryce Harper. After Harper signs, either with them or elsewhere, Philly will consider Dallas Keuchel and or Craig Kimbrell. One person thought Keuchel's more likely since the penicillin with Robertson aboard, but it could be either guy.
If you tell me, oh, well, if we don't get Harper, we'll get Keuchel. Huh, the drop off there.
Yeah, I know. Because I don't even know how effective he's going to be.
Yeah, I'm worried about
him. Here. I
want to take a risk bringing him in at this point because the rest of the rotation is, I hate to use the term garbage, but it is. It's not a winning rotation just yet. But who knows what kind of Dallas Keuchel you'll get. You might get the Jake Arrieta version from last year.
Yeah, or you're right, and that worries me. Kimbrel interests me. Because if you have Kimbrel, see, I almost think you might as well just go bullpen and go get Kimbrel. And I know my rotation is not going to be special. I just got to get innings. And then I have Kimbrel to close, and then I'm firing Robertson and Sir Anthony at him. And I go with a bullpen-heavy team like Kansas City. And Kansas City almost worked a couple years ago. Chris in Upper Darby, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Chris, hey.
What's up, man? Love the show as usual.
What's up, my brother?
Tell those people who are talking about relax to take that word and shove it down their throat and choke on it, okay? I don't want to hear relax, all right? You know, I can't stand that relax thing, all right? Because then what's going to happen is when he gets reevaluated, they're going to say, well, he has to do 4-on-4s, and he's going to have to do this.
Oh, I know. That's where I'm scared.
I don't want to hear this. This is the worst thing that could happen to us right now. This is on Brett Brown because, you know, he's got to be a leader of men. He's got to be, he can't be afraid to tell Joe, yo, look, you're not playing in the All-Star game this year, buddy. Sorry to tell it to you because your contract's with us, not with the All-Star team. You know, he has to say that to him. And I just think that he's just scared. This is his built-in excuse this year if we don't make it. So that way he doesn't get fired. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. There's no excuse. I mean, look, when you assemble that five, there's no excuse. I mean, barring calamity, like if Embiid's out, which I don't think so, but that's calamity, Chris. Right? Yeah. Like, that would be the worst thing in the world.
I don't know, man.
I'm with you, dude. I don't want to hear relax either. The whole thing, we got our whole spring riding on this.
Whole spring. And then he tells you to don't connect the dots. I don't want to hear that. I am going to connect the dots because you had an opportunity just to tell him no. You're not playing the All-Star game. You can go. You can enjoy the festivities, but your butt's not getting on that court. And you've seen it in the game, and he really wasn't even that effective.
I know. I know. I feel you.
Take it easy, buddy.
You too, brother. You too. Listen, you know, you don't have to be Sherlock to go, before the All-Star game, he was questionable like every game. How many times you see a tweet and Embiid's questionable for tonight?
At least once a week.
Well, more than that.
Yeah.
Over the last couple
Embiid,
weeks.
Embiid missed a shoot-around.
Prior to the All-Star game, he was questionable a couple. Now, what is that? Is that just like him being a drama queen? Is that he's sore? What is it? So that's what we talk about, connecting dots.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.